On the show today, we're talking about hosting giveaways and competitions on social media, when to do them, when not to do them, and what to consider.
Welcome to Jersey Eye with the Two Lauras and another episode where we are sharing tips and advice for social media managers. If you're new to the show, welcome. We are the Two Lauras and we are here to help freelance social media managers like you to create a business you enjoy working in so you can have the freedom you want. No doubt, at some stage in your social media management career, you'll be asked by a client to host a giveaway or competition. So that's what we're diving into in today's episode. And stick around as we'll also be telling you about a free resource to make sure any competitions you host on social media are legal. Okay, Laura, do you like competitions on social media? Just as a starting point?
No. Do you know what I don't like about them? I don't like random people tagging me in competitions.
Yes.
That I'm not interested in, just yes. So that they can win the competition.
Yes, yes, yes.
And like, they're my friends, I love them, but stop tagging me in crap competitions. Or at least tell me first.
And can I just say, I have been tagged, I'd go thousands in my career, and I've never won a bloody thing. But no. Now what bothers me even more is when you're tagged in something and you end up in you get a DM notification in Instagram now, don't you?
Oh, I've not said. Oh, you mean like the Instagram notify you rather than the person sending you a DM?
Yeah, so when I tag, so if I was to tag you now, you would get a DM.
Right, got
with
you.
The tag.
Okay, yeah.
And yeah. I don't like that. I'm a bit protective of my inboxes. Yeah.
It's a weird way to give notifications to people in your DMs, I think.
Well, yeah. I know, yeah. So I personally, I feel like competitions on the whole have had their day.
Mm-hmm.
But is that just because we're social media marketers and we've been in the world too long and we're just bored of it and actually our consumers still up for a competition? And I suspect they probably are.
I suspect they must be, because otherwise people wouldn't keep tagging me in competitions. You know, my friends who are tagging me and not, they don't work in marketing. So they're obviously still interested in the competitions, or we wouldn't keep getting tagged because they are entering.
This is true. And I wonder whether it's the same though from a B2B perspective. Which is just, you know, we don't know answer to that. Just interesting.
But is a competition from the brand's perspective actually going to get you buyers?
Well, that's exactly what I wanted to come on to. So we're going to tackle the good and the bad of what we see in competitions. So should we start with the positives or should we start with the negatives?
Let's start with the negatives and end with a positive.
Oh, okay. Okay, so the biggest issue I see with competitions is essentially freebie seekers.
Yeah.
In a nutshell. You're inviting people to come and try and get something for free. And they probably had no intention of buying it. So then when they don't win it, they're still not going to buy it.
They've probably got even less intention.
Yeah.
It's probably because they're like, well, I didn't win it. Sod you.
That kind of slightly childish mentality kicks in. And people, I didn't want it anyway. Don't want it anyway. Like, you can bug me off. Didn't want it.
I'm going to go and buy the competitor's version instead.
Or maybe that's just how we think.
Or maybe that's just
anyway,
us.
But you definitely run a risk of creating an audience of people who want things for free.
Did you have this in the past? You had this with a client, didn't you?
Yes. So I had a client who, to be fair, it was before my time this happened. He took me on to deal with the consequences of what had happened. So he was selling garden rooms, you know, these garden offices. And he did a garden room giveaway. It was like a 20 grand garden room, and it went absolutely bonkers.
God, can you imagine how many times we would have been tagged in that?
I know, yeah. It just went absolutely bonkers. It was really interesting when I went and when he took me on to try to deal with the fallout, looking at the people who followed the page, there were so many of them my friends, and I was like, gah, all these people thinking they're gonna get this bloody garden room. It's like, anyway, he ended up with over 100,000, I think it was 110,000 followers.
Wow.
From nothing. Like, I think he probably had a couple of hundred when he started it. And it went viral. You know, it was constantly being shared. And he then rang me going, oh, yeah, guess what? I've grown a following of 100,000. You're going to help me. And I was like, okay, well, how have you done that then? Like, talk me through where we're at, what like what's worked for you? And he was like, basically one competition has worked for me. And I was like, so has it worked for you, as in it's worked because you're now inundated with inquiries and you can't keep up? Or are you saying it's worked because you've suddenly got yourself 100,000 followers? And he was like, well, I've got the 100,000 followers. I just now need your help to get them to buy from me. And I was like, I think this is going to be an absolute frigging disaster, because he'd essentially just got an audience who didn't have 20 grand. They'd have loved a garden room. Who wouldn't have wanted a 20 grand garden room for free? But yeah, no one had the intention of buying it. And we just ended up with an account, you know, don't get me wrong, we got inquiries, it was fine. But it was his expectation was, he was like, I need to bring on staff, I need to bring on like a big sales team. And I was like, steady, Eddie, like, let's just see what happens first. Because if you've got 100,000 followers and none of them are going to put their hand in their pocket, you don't need a sales team, mate. You just need a new, probably, social media account. So yeah, it was not good. It did not catapult him into, you know, the rich list. He just had more of a problem, I think, going forward. And I didn't work with him for very long. His expectations were wild. Don't actually think the company's going anymore.
Funny that.
Yeah, which says a lot. But
that's what happens if you don't work with Laura Davis.
Well, exactly. You lose me, you lose your business. And I think you made a point when we were talking about this earlier, in that actually, and I had this conversation with him at the time, that a 20 grand garden room, he'd have been way better to invest 20 grand. Like, and I know that's not what obviously the garden room would have cost him, but he'd have been better to invest that money in ads, in maybe other types of marketing.
Probably even if he'd have only spent like 5 grand, he probably would have had better results.
Yeah, exactly. And I did try to explain that to him, but he wasn't having any of it, because he was like, no, because I've done this. So he was like well chuffed with what he'd done. But I think that's a really good point, that if, especially when they're higher value, slightly different than if it's like a 50 quid hoodie, but if it's a higher value product, I'd get them, your clients, just to think a bit strategically about whether actually, is this the right way to spend that investment
in
audience growth? Because that's essentially why people do it, don't they? They're like, oh, I want more followers, or we need an injection of engagement, so let's do a giveaway. Like, I can totally picture it now when I've had this, you know, conversations with clients on years gone by. And actually, is that the best use of their time and money and resource? And often I personally think, being an ads manager, that you'd be better off investing that in ads, or maybe a different type of marketing altogether. But I think giveaways isn't always the answer.
Yeah, or even just investing in better content. You know, if you could, for example, if they need good video content and they don't want to spend money on a videographer, like that money they could have spent on ads or a competition, like, it could be better spent there. I think there's just a whole conversation to have with a client there. And I think they'll appreciate that if you have those conversations and be like, look, you know, this is one way you could invest your money, or you could do these other things that might have more strategic aligned results. And I think they need to really understand the impact that having a competition on their account has, and that, it might get more eyeballs, but they might not be eyeballs from people who've got credit cards that, you know, they haven't already maxed out and that they're happy to spend money on.
Yeah. And it's all very well having competitions where you know, and it obviously would depend on the service or the product. If it was like a subscription of some, just get win your first month or something, or win something, but they still going to have to be paying. Those kind of things are slightly different. So it does depend on the business model, and it does depend a lot on, as you say, the kind of objective of what that is they're trying to achieve.
Mm. Yeah, and I think there's sometimes better ways to do a competition. So, for example, like, I don't know, if you were hosting an event, is it better to do a competition to give away a ticket to that event, or is it better to do a competition where people who are coming to that event and are buying a ticket could win something else? Because then that's an incentive for them to buy a ticket to that event. You know, so there's all these whole conversations that you need to just think about, which will lead us to the end result we actually want.
Yeah, and to not be led purely by vanity metrics, which I think is a lot of what competitions and giveaways are. You know, they're often like a gut, like a quick reaction, aren't they? Like a, yeah. Oh, let's do a competition because that will help because Instagram reach is down this month or what have you. Mm. So they yeah. think that's the answer to their problems. Whereas actually, you're just going to end up with a, you know, another 1,000 followers and still your engagement potentially is still going to hit rock bottom in 6 weeks' time. You know, it's better to, and like you say, is it not better to maybe look at injecting a bit of that cash into some better content or what have you?
If you're still using the built-in tools that Meta's provided to help you to schedule content, please listen to this message. I want to tell you all about Adobe Express. Meta is renowned for having unreliable scheduling tools. So why are you still using them when there's an alternative out there that you could use for free? Adobe Express has this brilliant built-in content scheduler that is far more reliable than what Meta are giving you. And it's free. You can publish up to 1,000 posts per month on the free content scheduler inside Adobe Express. And not just that, you can harness all of the other tools that they offer to you, whether it's using their built-in templates, their music options, you're using their stock imagery, or even editing videos. Adobe Express has it all there for you. But the thing that we love most about the Adobe Express scheduler is the way that you can drop ideas in. Now, if you're anything like us, you probably have random content ideas come to you at the most weird of times. Times when you're not really in work mode or you're not really ready to start creating content. When that happens, you can just open up the Adobe mobile app and drop the ideas into the scheduler. There is a whole panel where you can store all of your ideas. And then when you're ready, you can come back and you can use the built-in AI to turn that idea into an actual post. It is genius. You can upload your own content from your computer or your phone, or you can use the content that you've created using all of the built-in features with Adobe. It's so easy, and it links to every single platform you could possibly wish it to link to. So go and check it out. It's totally free. There are paid upgrades if you want to, but you can use this for free, just like you're using all of the built-in tools within Meta that are letting you down all the time. So the link for this will be in the show notes. Go and check it out. We've also recorded you a really short video to show you how it works. That is in our Facebook group, and we'll make sure that there's a link to that as well in the show notes. Yeah, and I think also there's a, you just have to think about what are people going to do afterwards. So for example, like sometimes if you're using a competition to give away something that you're launching because it's brand new, if the first time they're hearing about that thing is that they could get it for free.
Yeah.
That's like taking away the value of that thing. Like launch it first.
Yeah, and but also on that, if it's particularly if it's like a high ticket, like a holiday or a car, it kind of screams scam to me.
Yeah.
You know, there's, and is that giving people the right first impression of your business that you're feeling a bit cheap about it, a bit scammy? Yeah. And that's not, again, none of this is to say that you can't do it. These are just considerations in terms of just think, you know, before just jumping into something as to what the knock-on effects will be.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
And I just think is another thing that really is a bad in terms of they don't work is when you're asking too much of people. So, you know, if you're in a competition where you've got to, well, we've all just discussed, like it, comment it, share it, with why you love, a comment with why you love the brand, comment
tag
below
25
and,
people.
Yeah, comment below and tell everybody your bra size, like all random stuff, or fill out this form, do this, do that. If you, competitions work, and just generally social media works when it's quick, like people don't have time to think. You know, or people don't want to, you know, share why they like that brand when it's the new, it's a product that people might not want to share, you know, the Botox clinic down the road. Some people might not want to share that they're interested in getting Botox. So it's just, you've got to make it easy for people to enter these.
Like on the Botox one, tag a friend who needs Botox. Like, what's that? What's going to happen there? You're just going to fall out with your friends.
Exactly. So you have to, don't just say, oh, well, this person down the road's done a giveaway like this. Let's just replicate that because they did really well off it. But actually, you have to make it specific, dependent on what you're giving away, who your audience is, what... You know, like if it's a product that was aimed at, say, like my dad probably wouldn't know how to share something on Instagram. don't even think he's on Instagram, but you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
make it, and that's, you know, I don't want to teach people to suck eggs, but it's just a reminder that, like, that copy-paste approach to competition isn't necessarily always going to work for every product, every audience. So just bear that in mind, but definitely don't be asking too much of people. Make it quick, you know, and make it, like, people just can't be asked anymore. People are lazy. Like, I'd hate to have to comment on something like, my favorite color is pink.
And also, I just think there's something to be said for, is it actually good? Like, yes, you might get loads more followers, but is it actually helping your brand awareness? All the competitions I've ever been tagged in, I could not tell you a single one of those businesses.
No, that's such a good point.
It doesn't build brand awareness. It just might get you engagement. And it might get you followers. Doesn't mean people are going to know about your brand.
And let's face it, someone gives away something, you go and you follow them, you like the, you know, you like the post, you do what you're told, you like the post, you add your bra size, you follow the account. You didn't know that brand before. You've have no kind of connection with them, but you've done it anyway because it's a nice competition and you want to win whatever it is. Then you see their content coming out over the next couple of weeks. You don't engage with it because you're not aligned with it. It's not relevant to you. It's not speaking to you. You've just entered the competition because you like that particular thing they were giving away in the competition. So you don't engage with any more of your content. And then that's it. It's gone. Like, we know how quickly it is that people fall out of our feed.
Also, that relies on the algorithm showing that content to you in the first place. And if you've never shown the algorithm that you're interested in that kind of stuff in the first place, just because you follow them doesn't mean you're going to get shown it.
Well, no, no, that's very true. Yeah. So I think we just have to be a bit careful that it's a quick win, but I'd question whether even a win is the right word. It's a quick injection of engagement, followers, whatever it is you're asking, but actually, what are the long-term benefits to this? And there may be ways around that. There may be ways to you can strategically tick these things off, these negatives off, and say, okay, well, that's a good point, Laura's, but I'm therefore going to deal with it this way. And that may well be the case. So these are just things to be aware about.
So why don't we flip it then and go for those positives, good things about competitions, and talk about that kind of side now? Because there are good reasons to do competitions. We just can't think of them. No, I'm joking. There are good reasons.
Well, I feel like half of the good things that we can talk about, we've already slated. But I think done well, I think when people do it well and they're not greedy and they're not just focused on vanity metrics, you know, they've gone a little bit deeper on this, I think you can achieve brand awareness. But you've got to do it very strategically, because you only want to get people entering these competitions who are your true target audience. You know, so if you've got a competition aimed at mums, it's too broad. But if you've got a competition aimed at mums who have a lot of money and only
be a bit more specific than that, like mums with a baby under 6 months who cries all night.
Yeah, where's Bowden? You know, all the, whatever these things are, if you can really attract that particular audience because you know the rest of your content and you know everything about your brand aligns with those people, then you stand a chance of the brand awareness working. But what you have to think about is, right, the 1st of April, we're putting out our brand new competition. That is just the start of your planning. What content are you then strategically planning for the rest of that time, that not just when the competition's running, those few days, but also what content are you going to make sure is going out in and around that time? So anyone that has shown and expressed an interest in that brand via that competition are going to continue to be able to see that content.
And I think there's something said in terms of, like, when you're getting people to enter, like, telling them why. So, you know, follow to enter the competition, and you'll also get daily content about XYZ thing. So it makes them want to actually follow. It makes them understand why they should. And then you're going to get the right people engaging on that post, the right people following. And if you were to run, for example, retargeting ads, you're going to be showing those retargeting ads to the right people because you've already got the right people to follow you.
Yeah, and I definitely think, especially now with like reels, if you ran a competition with a reel, you can then specifically retarget the people who have watched that video.
Mm.
And so you can be quite strategic about it. So I think that's the point, really. So it's good. You can get good brand awareness, but you have to be strategic about it. This isn't just a case of going, sod it. Let's just do a competition next week. What should we give away?
Yeah.
And that's the only decision making that happens. It should be, okay, let's do a competition. What are we going to do after that? How are we going to make full use of this? Can we do retargeting ads? But also, you know, if they work with an ads manager and it isn't you, have a conversation with them, because it may completely bugger up what they're doing to suddenly have a load of randoms on the, you know, messing with their custom audiences. So do bear that in mind, but I'm trying to stay positive. And on that kind of brand awareness side of it, a lot of competitions now, and I am going to be a bit negative, but a lot of competitions now, they do it in collaboration with another brand, which can work really well. So it's like very, as long as they're very aligned. So they've got similar audiences. So the benefit of you doing competition with that other brand is that essentially your content or your competition in particular, but hopefully then subsequently your content gets shown to this new audience that is very much aligned with you. Now, that is a good thing. What isn't a good thing and drives me up the flipping wall is when you have a competition with 10 people and you've got to go to like 10 different brands and like follow them all and comment on them all, your favorite color and your shoe size and your, like, that's a full-time job. Like it's so annoying. But again, that's my personal opinion.
Back in the day when they used to run those, every single one of the brands used to post their own posts. So you literally did have to go and comment on all 10 posts. Like on Instagram, for example, now with the collaboration feature, you could just hopefully comment on one post. But yeah, that would drive me up the wall.
Yeah, but to try to remain positive, so collaboration competitions can also, if again, done well, done strategically, can actually be a good thing in terms of audience growth.
And I think there's something to be said for like the whole goodwill thing. Like if you're doing a competition to your existing audience, your existing buyers, you know, the people who are already loyal followers, that builds really goodwill with them because they're like, oh, you know, I've bought from these people before and I love their stuff and now I could potentially win it for free. That's way better, I think, than just using a competition to try and reach new people.
Yeah, 100%. Well, we've done that a lot, haven't we? We've given people pizza for their tea. We've done brownies. We've done, you know, loads of little things. And they're only small. They're just little things, but it's kind of just nice every now and again to say, look, guys, we know we want to be nice. We know social media is tough this week. Who wants a brownie type of thing? And it's just a nice thing to do.
I tell you what, I'm going to put a post in our Facebook group. Go to the socialmediamanagershub.com and I'm going to put a post in there to give you a pizza for tea. Go and you have to be in the UK. We can't send a pizza to like Australia. go and comment on there and we'll send you a pizza. Not everyone, just one person. You have to be nice about us. You don't have to tell us your bra size. We'll put the link in the show notes.
Okay.
Laura's face right now. It's like, oh my God, are we really going to give away pizza? Yes, we are.
Okay, that's fine. As long as you remember.
Okay.
Add it to your to-do list.
Drop into our DMs if you don't see a post in Facebook.
Yeah, because Laura Moore has forgotten. Yeah, no, okay, let's do that. I'm happy with people having pizza.
There we go.
Okay, so there's the good things, good brand awareness, good collaboration opportunities, good for like goodwill and being just nice. We've covered a lot of the kind of bad things, but I think one of the most important things we probably need to touch on with all of this, because at the moment, a lot of what we've said obviously is just our opinion, but there are some things which are fact when it comes to competitions, and that is the policies of the platforms themselves.
Yeah.
And they change all the time, and it's your responsibility as a social media marketer to make sure that you are aligned with what is right or wrong for running competitions. So, for example, 9 times out of 10, it will say that you have to state in that competition that that competition is not being run in association, conjunction, whatever, with that particular platform. So there's things like that which you normally have to state on that competition. There'll also be things like you'll have to have terms and conditions. And I think that's a legal responsibility for any kind of competition. So you may need to get your client's legal team potentially to write up some terms and conditions that you have linked on a Google Doc, I guess, is fine nowadays. So there's all of that side of thing. And each platform will be slightly different as to what you can and can't do. So, for example, you use, and I don't actually know whether this is the case anymore, so please go and do your own due diligence because it probably changes every week. But you used to not be able to tag somebody. You could ask them to share, but you weren't able to ask. This is Facebook I'm referring to. You weren't able to tag someone. You weren't able to bring someone to that post by tagging them. You could, as a condition of entry to a competition. So lots of people used to get around that by saying things like, to enter, you have to like this, share this. And if you want to tag a friend who would also be interested in winning, then you can, but that is not a condition of entry type of thing. So there was, I'm going back several years now, and so please don't quote me as that I'm saying that that is current policy. It possibly isn't, but I have not looked for a long time because we don't do competitions. So my point is, you need to be making sure that you're up to speed on the policies of all platforms when it comes to what is allowed or not allowed. And I know it will happen because it's happened to me where your client says, oh yeah, but blah blah, they didn't do that, they're asking everybody to tag or whatever it may be. That's on their head. So as a professional social media marketer, you have to align to those policies and have to follow those policies. Because at the end of the day, if that client's account gets shut down as a result, which could happen, and you've not done your due diligence and you've not followed policies, then that's on your head. And you know, there could be consequences to that. I, in the past, have had clients say, well, no, but I want you to ask for a tag. And so I've had to get them to put it in writing that that is their choice and they take full responsibility for that. It's nothing to do with me. And I think in actual fact, I ended up getting my clients to actually post it because I didn't want any association. I didn't want it like posted from Laura Davis because it's just not worth it. So read the policies. They're available on all platforms. And read them again and again and again. Don't just assume what was right 6 months ago is still the same now, because they do tweak and change quite a lot.
Yeah, and don't just ask another social media manager what the rules are, or go and ask in a Facebook group, or, you know, actually go and look.
Yeah.
So that you know the information you're getting is right. Because like you say, policies change all the time, but there's also like legal things you need to be aware of depending on where you are in the world. And on that note, we're going to pop a link in the show notes. But if you go to thetwolauras.com/TBL, Amber from The Boutique Lawyer has given us a free guide that you can go and download, which tells you the legalities of running a competition on Instagram. A lot of it is transferable to other platforms. So go and grab that. The link again is thetwolauras.com/TBL. And we'll put that in the show notes.
Okay, that's it. I hope that was useful. We will see you over in the Social Media Managers Hub Facebook group, where Laura Moore is giving everybody, not everybody.
Whoa.
Laura is giving one person some pizza.
Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, which we will link to in a document. come and find us in the hub. And yeah, we'll be doing that. Yeah, that's it. We will be back next week. Enjoy your pizza, the lucky winner.
See you then.
Bye.